Okay, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Tim in the Morning Show, broadcasting live out of the Creston Valley, 7:30 till 9. We have a beautiful blue sky out there today, but I look at my weather notes here, and there's red, and there's yellow, all over the place. Severe thunderstorm watch in effect. Let's have a look. See what that says. It was issued at 3:47 a.m. Yeah. And severe thunderstorms possibly this afternoon. This is an alert to the potential development of severe thunderstorms with large hail and damaging winds. That's kind of hilarious. That was the same warning they had in Idaho yesterday. Idaho's not that far away in Environment Canada. Anyways, I guess we'll have to see what happens. We are currently at 16 degrees, winds are calm, humidity at 76%, which is a little on the uncomfortable side, and barometric pressure 101.9 kilopascals and rising. A mix of sun and cloud today, supposedly. 60% chance of showers or thunderstorms this afternoon, risk of severe thunderstorm. Yeah. High of 28 degrees. Tonight, same thing. 60% chance of showers or thunderstorms. Low going down to 15. Tomorrow, showers. High at 23. Friday, high of 18. Periods of rain. Saturday, chance of showers. 60%. High of 18. Sunday, chance of showers. About 30%. High at 24. Mix of sun and cloud on Monday, high at 24, and Tuesday, sunny and high of 25 degrees. Looks like apparently we've got to wait a long time for some sun. Yeah. Anyways, I guess what we'll do is we'll hang in there and we'll fight a good fight, eh? Yeah. Maybe Triumph can sing along.
South Kootenai Radio.
Tune in, listen, and enjoy.
Looks
Okay, what's not to love about Patti Smith, huh? I'll tell ya. They don't get much better than that. For an old gal. Anyways, what? That's live at the Royal Festival Hall in London, and this particular recording took place in 2005. It's off the, or that track is taken from the 30th anniversary Legacy Edition of Horses. Yeah. All right, 7:46, and we're 16 degrees here today, apparently. Sure feels hotter than that, let me tell you. Winds are calm, though. Skies are blue, yet it's supposed to be thundering out. I guess we'll see, huh? All right, this day for Canadian history. That's what we're going to get into right now. And we're going to start in 1880, September the 4th. And that's when John A. MacDonald signs a provisional agreement with CPR Syndicate for building of the Canadian Pacific Railway. And the group consists of the Bank of Montreal president George Stephen, U.S. rail financier Duncan McIntyre, and Ontario-born Minnesota entrepreneur James Jerome Hill, Stephen's cousin Donald Smith, and Hudson's Bay Company, who threw support for McDonald during the Pacific scandal, lurks in the background. All right, what else do we have here? It was also on this day that Brian Mulroney wins the federal election in a landslide against the opponent's Liberal John Turner and the Democrats' Ed Broadbent. His PC party takes a record 212 out of 82 seats to 40 Liberals, 30 NDP, and one other. In the biggest majority seat total ever won by a federal party in Canadian history. Also takes 58 out of 75 seats in his home province of Quebec after winning, or after promising to reinstate Quebec into the Canadian family with honor and enthusiasm. Turner suffers a crushing defeat nationally, but wins his own seat in Vancouver Quadra. It's funny, it wasn't that many years later. Mulroney probably went down to one of the biggest defeats. Actually, he slid out the back door and put Kim Campbell in charge about 2 months before the election that saw the Conservatives slaughtered. I think they only ended up with like about two or four seats, something like that. Anyways, and that was the birth of the reforms coming into the country, I guess. Well, the reformers were around before he slipped out, but I better get off topic here. I'm going to get in trouble, I can tell. Also on this day in Montreal, in 1899, Donald Alexander Smith, Lord Strathcona, funds the Royal Victoria College for Women at McGill University, which opens on this day. Smith, a controlling shareholder for the Bank of Montreal and Hudson's Bay Company and CPR, is a strong believer in education for women. Way to go, Donald Alexander Smith. Yeah. Got a couple of birthdays here. Armand Villancourt, a sculptor born on this day in 1932 at Black Lake, Quebec. And his monumental work consists of welded metal figures expressing his outrage at social justice. I think I might have to Google that one up. Donald McKay, shipbuilder, naval architect, born on this day at Jordan Falls, Nova Scotia in 1908, died in Hamilton, Massachusetts, September 20th, 1980. McKay learned his trade in the family shipyards, then moved to the U.S. where his East Boston yard built the largest and fastest of the clipper ships, Flying Cloud, Great Republic, and Sovereign of the Seas. What else do we have here? Isabella Preston, born on this day at Lancaster, England in 1881. Isabella was a horticulturalist, died in Georgetown, Ontario, January the 31st, 1965. She worked as a plant hybridist at the Ontario Agriculture up to 1920, then joined W.T. McCowan at the Central Experimental Farm in Ottawa. She originated nearly 200 varieties of rose, lilac, and Siberian iris and lilies. Wow, way to go, Isabella. Okay, what's going on here? In 1997, out of Detroit, Michigan, Gordie Howe, who was then 69 years old, agrees to suit up for the IHL's Detroit Vipers in the team's season opener against the Kansas City Blades on October the 3rd. He will become the only professional hockey player to play in six consecutive decades. Wow. And what else do we have here? Also in 1997 out of Sudbury, the Huron Central Railway, owned by Genesee Rail 1, takes over operation of the former CP line between Sault Ste. Marie and Sudbury. What else do we have here? Oh, right. We talked about this game here the other day, back in 1972, but on this day, Team Canada beats the USSR 4-1 in Game 2 of the Super Series, or the September to Remember, to even out the series against the Soviets, known as Brother Knight, because of the goal scoring of Frank and Pete Mihaljevic. That's funny, that's the very first time I ever heard that. Yeah, and the goaltending and marksmanship of Tony and Phil Esposito. There you go. Um, 1966, Vancouver-born Raymond Burr stars in his last episode of CBC TV legal drama, Perry Mason. It was broadcast on this day, his last show. All right, I think it is time for some tunes. I'm getting awful thirsty. Steve Miller Band. Hey, yeah.
Go ahead. Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, a fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now give us fever. When we kiss us, fever with thy flaming youth. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yea, I burn forsooth. Captain Smith and Pocahontas had a very mad affair. When her daddy tried to kill him, she said, Daddy, oh, don't you dare. Give me fever. With his kisses, fever. When he holds me tight, fever. I'm his missus. Daddy, won't you treat him right? Now you've listened to my story. Here's the point that I have made. Chicks were born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade. They give you fever. When you kiss them, fever. If you live, you learn. Fever till you sizzle. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way.
All right, the Cramps, the Fever. I'd like to know who that is on the vocals there. Yeah. Anyways, what do we got here? Oh, it's 8 o'clock. No wonder I'm feeling crowded here in the booth. Yeah, we got Joe and the crew. Actually, I don't know if it's Joe. He's got a bag over his head, as per usual. Anyway, we're going to let the news crew go ahead here with 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I have a news update, and we'll be back on the second half hour. Some more great tunes for you. Okay, what happened there? Let's give it a try again.
It is September 4th, and this is CBC News. I'm Joe Cummings. U.S. President Obama in Stockholm, Sweden today, ahead of this week's G20 summit in Russia, continues to push his case for a military strike against Syria.
My credibility is not on the line. The international community's credibility is on the line. The question is, how credible is the international community when it says this is an international norm that has to be observed? The question is, how credible is Congress when it passes a treaty saying we have to forbid the use of chemical weapons?
Obama insists that a military response will not end the civil war in Syria, but is needed to send a message that chemical warfare will not be tolerated. A U.S. Senate committee will vote today on a resolution authorizing the Obama administration to use military force against Syria. The resolution would prohibit the use of American ground troops and would limit any campaign to 60 days or less. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin is saying that any U.S. military strike without the involvement of the United Nations will be viewed by Russia as an act of aggression. Putin, incidentally, will meet with Obama later this week in St. Petersburg as Russia plays host to the G20. Prime Minister Harper will be at the summit as well. He flew out of Ottawa this morning along with Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird. Corrections officials in Ohio are reporting that Ariel Castro has committed suicide at a state prison facility. They say the 53-year-old was found hanging in his cell late last night. Castro held three women captive in his Cleveland home for roughly a decade. The women were aged 14, 16, and 20 when they were reported missing between the years 2002 and 2004. They escaped in the spring when one of them managed to get help from a neighbor. Castro avoided the death penalty by pleading guilty to more than 900 charges, and this summer was sentenced to life in prison. The Bank of Canada makes its September interest rate setting this hour, with most expecting the central bank to once again hold the line on its influential overnight rate. It's been at 1% for almost 3 years now, and that's where it's expected to stay at least for the time being. Here's the CBC's Scott Peterson.
It's supposed to be down that low because it's supposed to kickstart the economy. But we've got a shrinking GDP that we discovered last week, 1.7% in the second quarter. Inflation is anemic, 1.3% below the Bank of Canada guideline. And despite interest rates at rock bottom lows, we have business, investment, and borrowing again trailing productivity in the U.S. So here we are. We're entering a fourth year and a 24th consecutive pause in interest rates. And the problem is that low rates are designed for businesses, investment, trade, not for consumers to load up in debt. But that's exactly what's happening here.
That's the CBC's Scott Peterson reporting from Toronto. Two reviews have been called following the death last month of a 6-year-old boy in Saskatchewan. The RCMP say a 12-year-old is responsible for the death of Lee Bonneau. But the boy is too young to be charged with a crime. Here's the CBC's Karen Pauls.
We lost not just one child, we lost two.
June Droughty is Saskatchewan's social services minister. She says there are many outstanding questions about what happened, how Lee Bonneau's death could have been prevented, and what should happen to the boy responsible.
There's a hole, there's a gap. What can we do differently?
Some of the department's internal review won't be made public because of privacy concerns. That will also be a consideration for the provincial child's advocate, who is doing his own review. Bob Pringle was emotional in speaking to reporters.
It's always hard to find the words. You know, when you lose a child, that's pretty serious. I would say this one is doubly tragic. All children have a right to be safe.
The boy responsible is being assessed and getting psychiatric treatment, but he's not behind bars because Saskatchewan doesn't have any secure facilities for children this age. Karen Pauls, CBC News, Regina.
And that is the CBC News to this hour. We broadcast live and podcast at our website, that's cbcnews.ca. You can hear us as well on Sirius XM Radio. We're at channel 169.
Okay, thanks a lot, Joe, and welcome back to the second half hour of the morning show, everybody. You may remember just before the news, we had the Cramps there. I was singing that song, Fever, and I said, I wish I knew who the lead singer was. Well, one of our listeners helped me out and sent me a message saying that the lead singer is Lux Interior. Almost sounds like a paint job to me, but anyways, That's the information I got. All right. Back in 1981 at the Checkerboard Lounge in Chicago, Muddy Waters was up on stage. And, of course, I'm sure it was all planned. But the Rolling Stones walked in. They were starting up a world tour or something. Or anyway, they just happened to be in Chicago that night. And they wanted to go check out Muddy. So down to the club they went. Of course, they had a table for them right up front. And, you know, they eventually had to get up on stage. So here they are, the Stones and Muddy Waters with Baby Please Don't Go. Right here on South Kootenai Radio.
New Orleans, you know, before I be your dog. Before I be your dog. Before I be your dog, I get your weight out here and I make a walk the dog. Turn your lamp down low. Turn your lamp down low. I turn your lamp down low, and I beg you all night long, baby, please don't go. Come on, son. Your man and gone. You know your man and gone down the county for me, got his hat on. Things have got real where it's supposed to be. All right, back on calm to get a little stuff, a little drink with that. Take your time, don't rush it. Oh, baby, please don't go. Oh, baby, please don't go. Oh, baby, please don't go down to New Orleans. Oh, Lord, I love you so. Before I be your dog. Before I be your dog. Before I be your dog, I get you way down here and I make you walk the dog. Turn your lamp down low. Turn your lamp down low. Turn your lamp down low, and I beg you all night long, baby, please don't go. Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger. Let's bring Mick Jagger up here. Mick Jagger. Oh, baby, please don't go. Oh, baby, please don't go. Oh, baby, please don't go down to New Orleans. You know I love you so. Before I be your dog. Before I be your dog. Before I be your dog, I get you way down here and I make you walk the dog. Still we're gonna bring Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger.
you sing a couple of ways.
Baby, please don't go down to New Orleans.
Because I love you so.
Aye.
Before I be your dog. Before I be your dog. Be your dog. I want you way down here.
You brought the weight out here. You brought the weight out here. About rolling fall to treat you like I'm a dog. What about Keith?
Yeah, what about Keith?
What about Keith?
Ladies and gentlemen, I gotta sing one more before I bring up anybody else. But I'd like to get all the stones up here.
Okay, there you go, our theme music for this day in rock and roll history, brought to you by Link Ray and his big hit Rumble. All right, we've got a couple of birthdays here to start things off with, and the first one that we have is 1942, Merrild Bubba Knight of Gladys Knight and the Pips, Midnight Train to Georgia. A big hit there. And then a band in 1946 celebrates two birthdays to two different members of the band, Gary Duncan and Greg Elmore of Quicksilver Messenger Service. And they had a big hit in the 60s, Fresh Air. Of course, I ran into trouble with that one. Yep. All right. Well, and you might notice when I play it, put your ear up to the radio on that one. Yeah. The useless trivia throughout the years on September the 4th, we're going to start in 1962, and that's when John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr begin recording together for the first time at EMI's St. John's studio. They laid down six songs, including Love Me Do and P.S. I Love You, which would ultimately become their first single. 1968, the Rascals are presented with two gold albums. The first one was for their two-year-old debut disc, The Young Rascals, and the second for the Greatest Hits collection, Timepiece. 1971, that doesn't make sense. They have one album come out and then the next one's the best of? Something can't be right there. 1971, Paul McCartney scores his second solo number one hit in the U.S. with Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. Or is that Halsey? Admiral Halsey, I think we'll go with. Glasses are a little dirty. I don't know if that's an L or an I. Yeah. 1982, just as its six-week run of the top of the Billboard Hot 100 was ending, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor climbs to number one in the UK for the first of 4 weeks. Wow. 1996, Cat Stevens emerges from seclusion in London, England, to sign copies of his first album in 18 years. The LP, titled The Life of the Last Prophet, was mostly spoken word and was released under his Muslim name, Yusuf Islam. Cat Stevens' real name is Stephen Dimitri Georgiou. People close to him referred to him as Steve. Hey, yo, Steve, come here, play me some Peace Train, will ya? And in 2003, nearly 26 years after the death of Elvis Presley, BMG RCA unearthed a never-before-heard song called I'm a Roustabout. The song was originally commissioned and written for the film Roustabout in 1964 by longtime Presley collaborators Winfield Scott and Otis Blackwell, but was never used. Instead, a completely different song, written by the team Giant Bomb and K, was recorded for the film and eventually became the title song for both the movie and the album. Winfield Scott found the original acetate in the basement of his New Jersey home, and BMG RCA added the track to the album Elvis, Second to None. Interesting. All right, a couple of birthdays in the Quicksilver Messenger Service band today. Gary Duncan and Greg Elmore, guitarist and drummer. So we're going to listen to their big song, Fresh Air, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
Sweet air, Lord. Love me do.
For the music, South Kootenai Radio.
We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. We're so sorry if we caused you any pain. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But there's no one left at home.
Anytime is time for South Kootenai Radio, broadcasting from the Creston Valley.
Tired, running in and out, but it's too bad.
Okay, there you go. Elvis Presley finishing off this day in rock and roll history. And 26 years after Elvis's death, that song was unearthed, as they say. And it was released on his Second to None album. All right, I'm a Rustabout, that's right. Before that, we had Cat Stevens, a bitter blue cat, of course, coming out of seclusion on this day in 1996 to sign some of his new albums under his new names, Yusuf Islam. Yeah, we decided to listen to Bitter Blue because I didn't have that album that he released in 1996. That was actually from Teaser and the Fire Cat, released in 1970. Before that, we had Paul McCartney's Uncle Albert and Admiral Halsey. That's from the Ram album, Paul's second solo LP, and it was released in 1971, and that was a number one hit for him. Before that, we had the Beatles' Love Me Do. It's the first time the Beatles got together to record at EMI Studios in 1962, and that was one of the songs that they had recorded together. They recorded six of them, actually, that day. And before that, we had the Quicksilver Messenger Service with Fresh Air. Two birthdays in the band, Gary Duncan and Greg Elmar, both born in 1946. Fresh Air. All right, speaking of fresh air, it is a beautiful morning out right now. 16 degrees, winds are calm. We're supposed to go to 28 degrees. And we have a severe thunderstorm watch in effect over the Kootenay Lake region. Now, over in Vancouver, there are 17 degrees right now with a mix of sun and cloud. Mix of sun and cloud in Calgary, 15. Winnipeg, cloudy and 13. Toronto, 22. Mainly sunny, a few clouds. Halifax is 20 with a mix of sun and clouds. And St. John's, Newfoundland, cloudy and 19 degrees. Okay, we can slide in one quick song here, I think, before our album highlight. I think I'll play some Freddie King, Hideaway, from his Taking Care of Business album. Yeah, right here on South Kootenay Radio. Thank you. All right, Freddie King there with Hideaway. Of course, Freddie, an awesome guitar player. All right, you're listening to South Kootenai Radio. It is 8:46. We better get rolling here for our artist highlight today. I wasn't quite sure who to pick, but I thought after seeing Alice Cooper on Jules Holland the other night, and then the very next day reading in the paper that he's coming to Cranbrook, I thought, well, let's spread the word a little bit about some of Alice Cooper's music. I'm going to feature some of his older stuff, I guess, from the Killer album and the Love It to Death album. And let's see here. Alice was born, of course, February the 4th, 1948, in Detroit, Michigan. And his real name is Vincent Damon Furnier. And under his direction, Alice Cooper pioneered a grandly theatrical and violent brand of heavy metal music that was designed to shock. Drawing equally from horror movies, vaudeville, heavy metal, and garage rock, the group created a stage show that featured electric chairs, guillotines, fake blood, and a huge boa constrictor, all coordinated by the heavily made-up Furnier. Yeah. And, of course, by that time, Furnier had adopted the name for his stage personality, Alice Cooper. Yeah. So let's get rolling here. Oh, but before I do, I have to mention that Artist Highlight brought to you by Bedazzled, located at 1217 Canyon Street, right in downtown Creston, the most beautiful building in all of downtown. All right, Long Way to Go is what's going to start things off here. And like I said, this is from the Love It to Death album of 1971, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
you're a fun sucker, South Kootenai Radio is not for you.
It is September 4th, and this is CBC News. I'm Joe Cummings. U.S. President Obama in Stockholm, Sweden today, ahead of this week's G20 summit in Russia, continues to push his case for a military strike against Syria.
My credibility is not on the line. The international community's credibility is on the line. The question is, how credible is the international community when it says this is an international norm that has to be